Blog Talk Radio.
Makes the tall grass bend into leaves.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started by turning at the end, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that power, that great spirit that is known by many names. But on this line, we honor it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we move into the energy of forgiveness, I want you to just breathe, family. Because there's power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. Just want you to breathe in. As we become still, taking in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release it. Remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart. So in this right now moment, I just want you to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Be still. Know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Yeah, I know that I am God. Peace. Be still. Breathe. And release. And last. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Bringing in the energy of forgiveness. Knowing that release can be very magnetic. Forgiveness can be very freeing. And as we start our day today in the energy of forgiveness, releasing ourselves from anything that we have held against ourselves for staying too long, for allowing, and all the stuff that we hold on to today, I just want you to let it go.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself, or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release. Knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes, and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale and drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Hearts don't hold a smile. Troubled minds will wear you down. Use your past to get ahead. Hold your tears and think instead. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make the mirror your best friend, and maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. Now you know the remedy. Tell yourself you will achieve. Just go on and brush your shoulders off. This bridge is one that you must cross. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make mirror your best friend, and maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. If you love yourself, don't need nobody else. No one can love you like you. maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself like no one else can. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Like no one else can. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself like no one else can.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Layla Hathaway. It's called Mirror. Says you got to look in the mirror and make yourself your best friend. You got to love yourself when no one else can. Wow. We're going to get started by reading The Science of the Mind. Take what shows up on your plate. The secret of change is to focus all your energy on not fighting the old, but on building the new. Dan Millman. Ernest Holmes wrote 365 Days of Richer Living. He said, change is the law of human experience, for only God is permanent. In any structural system, there's a time of perturbation. This happens when standard operating procedures no longer work within an ever-evolving environment. You see, we frequently see this played out in the world of business. When a company reaches a creative and financial plateau, a state of perturbation. I'm going to have to look that word up because I've never even seen that word before. And does not reevaluate its methods, products, or training in general. It's overall instruction, but instead reacts to the plateau by simply doing more of the same. That structure will crumble. As individuals, we must face our own plateau. When our habits of comfort are unwelcoming to change, we too experience a form of collapse. We are wired for change, and change equals transformation. As instruments of a divine perfect pattern, we consistently pull to make choices congruent with the innate revealing of that perfect pattern. Think about a seed in the soil. The innate nature is not to remain a seed, but to shed the casing of the seed, push through topsoil, continue rising upward to the plant's inherent design. And when we resist such a change, we resist our inherent nature to do so, is to work against our purpose. The seed doesn't fear the process. And neither should we. I like that. The seed doesn't fear the process. Neither should we. Spiritual teacher Ram Dass once said, take what shows up on your plate and transform it until it feeds you. You see, we design to take our fears and transform them. And when fears meet change, change will always win. The inevitable evolution of our planetary professional individual systems revolves around an axis of change. We can either transform our resistance or remain perturbed and stubborn. Locking into familiarity with stubbornness will lock out your life force. We can welcome perturbation as a divine messenger. We can welcome it. I want you to just marinate on that. Can you welcome the change? Can we welcome that into our life? Perturbation, anxiety, mental uneasiness, a deviation of system, moving object, a process from its regular or normal state of past. All right. Can we welcome perturbation as a divine message? Can we welcome as a divine messenger, understanding that its presence is perfectly timed and its core message is letting us know we are ready for greater transformation? In essence, what it's saying is when the mental uneasiness, the anxiety, and all those things start to show up, can we welcome that as a divine messenger? Understanding that its presence is perfectly timed and its core message is letting us know we are ready for greater transformation. Our affirmation is, I move beyond the familiar and into the greater yet to be. I move beyond the familiar and into the greater yet to be. I move beyond the familiar. Can we move beyond the familiar? That's an interesting thought process today. As we move through today, can we move past what feels familiar to us? The resistance. Because that's what keeps us stuck, is our resistance. What? And I keep saying to myself, why do we keep resisting? I want to just take that word today and just move really deep into it. When we think about resistance, think about it, resistance can feel so frustrating sometimes. I think it's one of the most challenging things to healing is the internal obstacle that keeps us from following through on our own intentions. It's the doubts. It's the resistance. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Feelings that get in the way of change. Resistance can be sticky and frustrated that we may want to resort to ways of moving through it. This can include over control, suppression, anxiety, fear, punishments. If you don't do this, then this bad XYZ thing will happen. Bargaining, if you don't do XYZ, then I'll give you ABC. Over striving and more. I'm certainly use all of those tactics in my own life. But it never feels good to your heart. And even if they do get you to obey temporarily, would it really so when we do these things, we're really making war against our own resistance. You see, to change how we respond to resistance, we gotta change how we relate even to resistance, doubts, and fear. Feelings of I don't want to with compassion. Feelings with wisdom and acceptance. There go that word, acceptance. Fortunately, there's ways we can care for resistance without making ourselves wrong or our life wrong or our resistance wrong. There are ways we can just honor our feelings of resistance and move through it. In other words, honoring your feelings of resistance doesn't mean we have to do what our resistance says, but softening the resistance with safe keep. And one of the powerful ways I found to soften resistance is to just simply be still with myself. Think about being a mom, especially when the children are younger. You know, life floors in your house. There are lots of needs to fill. Daily life is a comedy of errors at the time. I think about the times when life felt so hectic and stressed. And I remember one time when we were moving out of the house. And, you know, sometimes when you have to move out of a different situation into a new situation, like when I was packing up the office, and you know how you get to trying to get your children to support you in your process. They were about 5 or 6 years old, maybe 9. And I wanted them to help me with the packing, but they were feeling just as frustrated as I was. They was whining and they was resistant. And I remember you coerced them, you bribed them, you threatened them, cajoled them, and talk in that tight tense. Did you not hear my voice rising? Mommy wants you to do what mommy wants you to do. And that times when nothing seems to work and none of it feels good. Because your children are feeling the same tenseness that you're feeling. And when one of them began to break down, and I just held them in my arms and began to listen to them, creating the space for their feelings. And instead of beginning to ordering them around and having that rush feeling, I began to breathe and relax my own mind so that I can create an atmosphere for us to work together. And once I honored their feelings of them even being overwhelmed, we began to pack up together and make it fun. And I put music on and stopped resisting the idea that we had to move. And they stopped resisting the idea and we started singing. And before you know it, all the frustration had left. All the frustration had left because we simply cried, we simply honored our feelings, and moved through the resistance. But it wasn't necessarily that the fun was in the packing, but what made it fun was our togetherness, our connection, our love. It's also what made her opened up to the idea of packing with me instead of fighting and being in resistance, and even me shutting down my resistance. And the light bulb went off in my head. It's my heart and safekeeping. You see, in the same process with ourselves, we may feel a lot of resistance about changing some of the habits in our life, understandably. So change is uncomfortable and it takes effort. We often feel like fumbling beginners, back at kindergarten. Growth means being vulnerable and asking for support. And when your resistance arises, do you do what I did? Do I even do what I did? Do I overempower? Do I coerce, bribe, yell? Or do I just sit with my own heart and allow myself to be vulnerable? Here's the powerful question. What would be equivalent of holding your resistance in your lap and listening to it cry? Ooh, isn't that a good question? What would be the equivalent of holding my own resistance like I held my daughter changing it? She wasn't appreciating the change. And mostly because we were separating from her dad. That caused her a lot of anxiety. I'm like, come on, let's move. Let's get these packages done. And then just to stop and held her in my arms and let her cry. But what if I could do that for myself? Holding my own resistance in my lap and listening to my own cry. I read something by Dr. Gordon Newfield once. He said, getting children to behave isn't about power over them. Children want to obey when they trust that we have their hearts in safekeeping. I want you to let that sink in. He said that getting children to behave isn't about powering over them, but children want to obey when they trust that we have their hearts in safekeeping. Oh, let's see. You see, the phrase brings tears to my eyes with this love and mercy. When I first heard it, I immediately thought about my relationship with myself. Is my heart in safekeeping? Am I keeping my own heart in safekeeping? When your heart needs safety, it's a pertinent question. As I recognize that if my heart isn't safe, I can't look inside. I feel too afraid of what I'll find. If my heart isn't safe, I feel ashamed, too ashamed to look honestly at what needs shifting in my own life. I run and hide. You see, I soothe myself from the shame sometimes with food, internet surfing, overdoing, or perfection. You see, if my heart isn't safe, I feel anxious. Every step feels very life or death, tight, tense, stressful. And the messy path of growth is bicupped by our need to, above all else, not mess up. Come on now. When you feel anxious, every step feels like a life or death, tight, tense, stressful. And the messy path of growth is hiccuped by our need, above all else, not to mess up. Most of all, when our heart isn't safe, we feel disconnected from our very self. We feel small, separate, helpless, hopeless, and we miss ourselves. Do we even visit with ourselves? Rumi says it this way: do you visit with yourself? Meditation teacher Tara Brock says that when we give someone our presence, kind, non-judgmental, totally accepting attention, we offer in love. And I think that's what Dr. Newfield was saying too. I think that's what I offered my daughter and what shifted our relationship, as well as their willingness to support the PAC process. Do you visit with yourself? I think it's particularly important to rest in our own presence when we're asking something challenging of ourselves. Dr. Newfield's circle, he calls it collect before you direct. So you will collect your child, connect with your child with touch, connect with your child with eyes, connect with your child with your voice, connect with your child, with your love. And before you direct them, you ask them to do something. This is because a child will automatically, forcefully say no to a parent that don't feel attached, that they don't feel attached to. And listen to this. This is what he said. Dr. Newfield said, it's particularly important for us to rest in our presence when we ask in something challenging of ourselves. He said, this is called collect before you direct. So you will collect your child, connect with your child, connect by touching them with the eyes, with the voice, with your love. And before you direct them, ask them to do something. This is because a child will automatically forcefully say no to a parent that they don't feel attached to. We automatically say no to our requests, no matter how good they are for us, when we're feeling disconnected even from our own hearts. Let me go back to the connection so you can really get what I'm saying. So if a child, we're talking about your children, other children, they're automatically say no, right, when they don't feel connected to that parent. But guess what? We're automatically say no to ourselves when we're feeling disconnected from our own hearts too. Even if the request is good for us, when we're feeling disconnected from our hearts, we'll say no to the resistance. When you feel resisted to change, healing, and growth, perhaps what you're really feeling is loneliness, a thirst of the heart. Resting in your own presence is the answer. See, I feel how my heart cries out to be collected, to be loved, to be appreciated, to be known, to be seen, to rest unconditionally in my own loving process. There's a direct correlation between time listening to myself, being with myself, and my willingness to do what my higher self asks of me. Dear one, precious soul, I invite you to cross the threshold of your own heart today. Before you embark on your to-do list, or before you ask something of yourself, just be. Take some minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and visit with yourself in the morning. Take 5 minutes and visit with yourself before a meal. Take some few minutes and just visit with yourself before the end of the day. Check in and offer yourself some tenderness. Let yourself be seen. Appreciate your tender, precious humanity, your suchness. Breathe. Offer yourself gratitude. Check in and ask yourself, how am I feeling? Put your hand over your heart and feel the pulse, the life thread that connects you to the earth. Feel the tender thread that connects you to others. Look inside and bask in your own goodness. And if you check in and you feel chaos or discomfort, there's an overwhelm, sadness, anger, envy, offer it kindness. Imagine a troubled 5-year-old needing a mother soothing and give yourself the same kind of soothing. I'm right here for you. You okay? I got you. And breathe in, soften your belly, and allow yourself to be in whatever state you find yourself in. Feel the tension ease and unwind it, coils unfold. This rest, this ease, the space of unconditional acceptance in your home, this is your true nature. This is who you really are. How sad we so seldom go there that we think we have to fix ourselves before we can rest in our own presence. I invite you today, don't believe the voice that's saying you can't go home. Home is always there inside your heart. Go. Open the door and visit with yourself. Relax in your own mercy. Go back again and again and again and forge that connection over and over. You see, feeding your hunger for closeness regularly throughout the day, just as you feed your hunger for physical nourishment 2 to 3 times a day, is just as important to feed and visit with ourselves. Visit with yourself and you'll find that the resistance will. Visit with yourself and I think you'll find the deepest rest of safekeeping. Is your heart safe today? Are you honoring your own tears? What would happen if your 5-year-old, 6-year-old came crying? I want you to hold yourself in that same process this morning. Resistance can show up, but would you be there to hold your own heart in safekeeping this morning, to know that you're deserving of your own love, deserving of your own heart being in this safekeeping? When my daughter felt all of that anxiety, she was feeling it because I was feeling it. And when I stopped and held her in my arms and told her, I got you. And I just let her cry in my arms. Will you be willing to let yourself and hold yourself in that same presence? It's so important. We keep finding ourselves in this resistance and we try to fight it and we try to resist it. We try to resist the feelings of resistance. We try to suppress what's going on. And then it becomes so overwhelming. You don't know why you're crying, and you don't know why you find yourself in the space you're in. It's because you haven't held yourself. You haven't gave yourself the love that you needed. That was a really powerful question when I got asked that. And I was sitting there thinking, I really found that to be a very powerful question. Is my heart in safekeeping? You see, when she felt safe, and I honored her tears, they were ready to do whatever we had to do to make it happen because they felt love. It's interesting. Children, we can learn so much from. That when they feel disconnected from a parent, they'll automatically say no, even if the no is not with their words. It's in their rebelliousness. It's in the way they respond. But when children, this is what Dr. Newfield said. He said when children feel trust and that their hearts are in safekeeping, then they will do whatever's asked of them. So think about that inner child. The inner child. When your heart don't feel safe, your inner child will respond with no, even if it's good for you. Time to think about this really deeply. When we feel disconnected from ourselves, we feel small, we feel separate, we feel helpless, we feel hopeless. Rumi says, do we visit with ourselves? Rumi said, also says, when we give someone our presence, and I want you to think about that. When we give someone our presence, how many times we're with somebody, but we're not giving them our real unconditional presence? Are we giving our presence? And when we do give someone our presence, a kind, just non-judgmental, totally accepting attention, we're offering in love. That's what shifted my daughter and our relationship when she was that little girl, because she just wanted me to be present. My mind was all over the place, getting things done, getting things about moving out, getting things done, and it wasn't being very present with the idea that that wasn't a change she was ready to accept. But to stop and hold her in my arms and allow her to be present with her own feelings and leave a whole space for her feelings, gave her permission to be okay with herself. And this shifted the atmosphere. We put music on and we began to pack. And when we moved in a new place and nighttime came, she was like, where's Daddy? And I held her again. And I love Dr. Newfield's idea, you got to collect before you direct. Collect before you direct. But I like to say, you got to connect before you direct. He called it collect before you direct. So you would collect your child, connect with your child. Connect with your eyes, your touch, your voice, and your love. But not only was that what made a difference, but it also made a difference in how I operated with myself when I started doing my own inner child work. I had to connect to myself. Because it's so easy to get caught up in that resistance. And so sometimes when we feel resistance to change, healing and growth, perhaps what we're really feeling is the need to connect back to self. And so that's really what I wanted to share after reading the resistance in the science of the mind. I thought, wow, that's a good topic for today. And I began to think about how do I move past my resistance. I stop, collect, and connect because it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. So is your heart today in safekeeping? Is your heart today in safekeeping? So I invite you to not believe the voice that says you can't go back home, because home is always there inside your heart. I invite you to open the door, visit with yourself, relax in your own mercy and grace, and go back again and again and again and forge that connection over and over with yourself, feeding your hunger for closeness regularly throughout the day, just as you feed your own physical body nourishment. It's time for us to learn how to feed our spiritual body with love by visiting with ourselves. One of my great things that I love to do is to go lay in the grass by a vast body of water and look up into the sky and just connect to the universe and breathe in the earth. And my heart feels so full. That's my message for today. It's 7:01 on Friday. I want us to connect back to our heart and release the resistance. If you have any questions, blog talk, teleconference star 6. Happy Friday, family. Great rising. And I want to remind you today, the most important thing we can do is to feed ourselves love, especially when change and transformation is occurring. And right now in the planetary energy of what's going on in the world, transformation is happening rapidly. People are making changes in their life rapidly. Some consciously and some unconsciously. People are leaving the planet. Things are happening around us. And a lot of resistance is coming up for a lot of us. And so as I think about the resistance, I think the most powerful thing on the planet is the ability to be still and be love, to send loving energy to ourselves, to release that critical voice in our mind. Be ever so present with yourself. I tell you, I've had an amazing week between the Japanese garden, hanging out with a beautiful sister too, hanging out with some beautiful sisters out in Miller Beach, out in Indiana, and taking in the beauty and the essence of the beautiful architecture and structures of the different homes, and to go into a place called the Vibrations and juice bar and to sit outside of that place and have beautiful conversation and watching the glistening sun touch the beautiful skins of my beautiful sisters I was in their presence with. And it's just sometimes you need those things to take the resistance out of your life. And so today, as I move through this day, I I'm going to release my own resistance. I had my own resistance coming up because I wasn't in the idea of acceptance that people was giving Rochelle what she wanted at her funeral, and I'm giving myself all this stuff. And then someone just told me to breathe, just breathe. They may not give her what she wanted, but her legacy of love, the legacy of beauty, her legacy of always wanting to create this energy of family, even if it wasn't her blood family, will always be etched in the soul of my heart. Because I was resistant, but I had to get into acceptance. Because the resistance wasn't hurting nobody but me. I tell you, sometimes you just have to breathe and love on yourself. And so when I woke up this morning, I woke up at 4:44. That's the angel number. And I knew immediately, because Rochelle loved angels, she wanted to let me know it was okay. Her soul was absolutely okay. And I knew that was a message from the angels and a message from her, because she absolutely loved angels. She's the first person that really started getting me to really acknowledge the angels. Because she loved angels. And 444 is the number of angels. So I knew immediately that was what that was about. Let go, Janine. Even though it was hard, let go. Breathe. Just breathe and know that her soul is okay. That was my message from her. Good morning, 773-5325. You on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Deborah Gary.
Hey, Deborah.
Hey, lady love. Interesting when you mentioned how we're just, when we have our kids, we're so busy, you know, cooking dinner, going to work, or just cleaning the house, or making sure their clothes are ready for school. And the kids just want us to be present. And now that I'm a grandmother, I understand the strong connection between grandparents and children, because with my grandson, I see my daughter so busy, and especially my 3-year-old grandson Jaden, how he just wants Addie's attention, but Addie's just so busy doing this, busy doing that. And he has a really strong connection with Ken and I, and with his other grandmother, Letty, because we're not too busy. And we want to, and even when I'm face painting and grandparents are bringing their kids to a festival, and they can hardly let me paint them. They want to be so close, and they want to talk to the child while I'm painting them, and the child is responding. I can't paint their face. They're moving. They don't want to miss a moment of this grandchild's life. They don't want to miss a breath, and I understand the feeling. Now, we're present in our grandchildren's lives. We don't want to miss a breath, a moment, a chance for them to call us by name, you know, our grandparent name, Nana, or whatever they call us. We don't want to miss a moment of it. But a lot of times young parents are so busy being busy that they're not present. And so I really understand why I was so connected with my grandmother, and why it's so heart-wrenching when she passed on, or my grandfather, because they were in the moment with me. They cherished every breath, every step I took. And so you're so dead on with that being present and connected. So I just thought that was interesting, and I wanted to mention that. And thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And I just want to also correlate. I gave that story because that's how I want us to connect also to ourselves and be present with ourselves. And I just want to mention to you that watching you, you know, do what you do, I'm watching you become more present with yourself, not just being a present grandmother to yourself. you know, spending time with yourself. You know, I watch you do your bike riding and tell us about how your morning went with yourself on the beach, and meditations in your backyard, and being present with yourself and being patient with yourself too. I see it, and so I just want to honor that. I just want to give an example of how we being present with our children, because we need to be present with our inner child as well.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying being present with myself, and I've noticed how just like when you read in the Bible when Jesus spent, he took that time to spend time with himself and just pray in the morning early to just get off. And then there's just really nothing too much, anything you can't handle throughout your day or your life. I noticed that I spend that time with myself, and then the things that come about in my day that would normally stress me out, or I'd be like, oh, if there were times where I felt overwhelmed, then even when I had my husband stop and meditate with me, he said, oh, that was really good, because now I don't feel like it's anything that I can't handle that comes at me during the day. I'm growing. I'm enjoying my growth. I'm connecting with me and understanding myself better and why I respond to things, or why I don't need to respond to some things at all that I realize aren't even have anything to do with, you know, whatever I make up in my head for them to do with it. So, it was. And thank you for coming to spend time with me and Miller Beach and seeing what where I do what I do. I mean, it just really felt good just being and enjoying the company of just so many beautiful women. And I just like have some beautiful friends. My friends are so beautiful and gorgeous, and I enjoyed you all. I feel and I know it reflects who I am, and I've attracted that to me. And so it just makes me smile on the inside and outside. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Gary. Well, Elsa, thank you, Deborah, for showing up yesterday. It made my heart sing. I want to thank Claudette Reddick for her beautiful choice of flowers, her spray that she's, you know, collected the money for, and all that you all donated, and the pictures of that pretty spray will be posted on the Love Journey Facebook page. It was so beautiful. Again, Claudette, I want to thank you for taking the lead on that. And I want to thank everybody who made donations, Khadijah and Nikki. And I'm not sure everybody who sent the money to Claudette, but I know people, Deborah, Gary, everybody, just thank you so much for your donations and all the love that was sent. And again, Claudette, you chose a really beautiful spray. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just want to say thank you for even being present, Claudette. You made my heart sing, too. All right, family. Rochelle went in class like she should have been. She's a stellar lady, and I know that she's up there in heaven, because heaven then got them an angel creating beautiful flowers. She wanted to make sure that she ran the flowers up in heaven, y'all. So she's doing the flowers up there. Because, you know, she loves to cook. So yeah, they may be eating some good food up there with Miss Knox up there, huh? All right, family, again, I want to thank you for all your love, all your support, all the texts, all the cards, all the emails, and every ounce of prayers and calls. It meant the world to me, and I want to say thank you from the depth of my soul, the depth of my soul and the profoundness of my heart. I'm just really excited to know, you know, it's really exciting to know and feel loved by your community. And so, again, I say thank you. All right, family, if there's no more questions, comments, and concerns, I want to remind you today, on this Friday, that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you to choose love. Love is a choice. And I want to remind you, don't just dream your God-sized dreams, but to live them. Again, I say thank you for all the love and support and condolences that went out. Thank you for all your calls. And thank you for those who showed up at the funeral, those who prayed, those who sent love. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, family. Thank you again, Claudette. The flowers were so beautiful. This is Lonnie Listen Smith. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. Have a phenomenal day.
I know.